Welcome. You're listening to No Boundaries on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, Dan McAndrew, and tonight I got a very special episode for you. I'm joined by a special guest, Dirty Eddie, the one, the only, and he's going to do a live session for us right now. So, enjoy.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Dirty Eddie. We're here in CJLO Studios. No Boundaries Radio. I'm just going to jump right into it. Do some live music for you. Sit back, relax. Here we go. And it's off my latest EP, which just came out. You can find more about that at dirtyeddie.com. You can find cats, milk, synthesizers, motorcycles, all at dirtyeddie.com. One day, you'll be able to find me at offmilk.org, where we'll take down Big Dairy one jug at a time. First songs I ever wrote. Cause you never know when magic's gonna come out. Poke its beautiful little face. Change your life. And so I said,
glass of milk, but afterwards it kind of
messes with your belly and you think, that's not right. There's gotta be something wrong. It's kind of like a poison. It makes you feel funny. It makes you feel really funny. Like, Zumba, another one off my first EP called .com, which you can find at dirtyeddy.com. So cool to be here in the studio doing live sesh. Hope you're enjoying. I'm going to do my last song right now. It's called Dog Days. Hasn't come out yet, but you can expect it real soon.
So for Montreal is back. From November 20th to 23rd, come check out the festival that highlights the best new music in the city. There's something for everyone, with concerts varying in all sorts of musical styles. Make sure to check out their jam-packed marathon events, such as BB Club and En Stereo at Theatre Fairmount, Grand Public, Radiant Baby, and Wizard at Casa del Popolo, Bonnie Trash, Breeze, and Dermabrasion at La Sauterenia. Plus performances and DJ sets from Shay Leah, Lara, Virginie B, La Force, Claire Vincent, and more. For more information and to buy tickets, visit amplemontreal.com.
Tune in to Eastern Promises every Sunday at 8 p.m. with me, Donald Robert, as I take you through the latest and greatest music from Atlantic Canada, featuring everything from traditional fiddle music to hip-hop, jazz, metal, as well as Acadian and Indigenous sounds. Eastern Promises will take you on a journey from westernmost New Brunswick to the furthest edges of Newfoundland. I'll be bringing you music news, tour dates, and some down-home comfort for all you Montreal expats. Join me as I curate a playlist that showcases the extraordinary talent coming out of Canada's right coast since time immemorial. That's Eastern Promises, every Sunday at 8 p.m. here on CJLO 1690.
What's going on? It's your friendly neighborhood superhero, Jean Grey, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. It's not 1690. I would not be welcome there.
Totally mad. Yeah, I'm just crazy.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to No Boundaries on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Dan McAndrew, the host, and I'm joined here by Dirty Eddie, who you just heard perform at the top of the hour. And yeah, do you want to introduce yourself a bit? And
yeah.
Yeah, we're there. We're there.
Okay, yeah, my name is Dirty Eddie. My real name is Travis Allen, actually. Dirty Eddie is my musical synth pop persona.
Do you want to start over? Because, I had the wrong mic turned up.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry. I could have sworn I said that before.
Dirty Eddie, and nothing ever goes according to plan in my life. And so that's just perfect. Real name is Travis Allen. I'm a synth pop artist based out of Montreal, originally from Edmonton. What else you want to know?
Well, my first question is, who is Dirty Eddie?
Who is Dirty Eddie?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a musician. I'm a community facilitator. And someone who's passionate about the arts, but Dirty Eddie is the musical persona, just a project that I started, a synth pop project that started in 2021.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just got your levels to like a good place. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. For some reason, that mic is like super quiet, but, so now we should be good. But I still think people heard you. It was just a bit quiet.
Yeah, we're.
But so that's who Dirty Eddie is. Do you want to tell us more about like your backstory, like how you became Dirty Eddie, how you got into music generally?
Gosh, yeah, sure. I'll try and give you a Cole's Notes version.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Edmonton, born and raised.
Okay.
And I moved to Victoria in 2021, was there for about 2 years, and then moved to Montreal. Been here for the last year and a half, I guess. And I started the Dirty Eddie thing during the pandemic when everyone else was trying to figure out their lives. And I just had released a few songs on Spotify, and what really started it was going to Victoria.
Yeah. Yeah, and were those few songs, were they Dirty Eddie, or was that a different name? Or
yeah, they were Dirty Eddie tracks. I had played music before that. I kind of grew up learning guitar, taking guitar lessons on and off, playing guitar. In my 20s, I ran a not-for-profit community center for the arts, where I really spent a lot of time learning how to jam with others and teaching other people to play music. And that's where the passion really started to get deep. But the first Dirty Eddie track is what came out in 2021.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, Dirty Eddie is kind of a persona in a sense. I mean,
yeah.
If you know you as a person, Travis, like I do, that it's not so much of a persona. Like you don't completely change who you are on stage or anything, but like it sort of is also a persona. There's almost kind of a universe, I guess, like a cinematic universe of Dirty Eddie a little bit, something to do with like motorcycles and cats and synthesizers. And
yeah, absolutely. It's funny. It started just as a way for me to express myself and claim that it wasn't me. So I could just write sad songs and people would be like, wow, like that's depressing. And I'd be like, yeah, but that's Dirty Eddie. You know, it's just like this whole other persona. It's not me. And very quickly I realized like, oh yeah, that's me. I've just been expressing myself under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's a bit of an umbrella for me, I feel like.
Okay. And for people who haven't seen you live, like you're a great performer. Like you're really,
thanks.
you're, I don't know, you kind of mix comedy and your more serious songs and you get the audience involved really in a good way. And sometimes you jump in the audience and have them play your keyboard for you and stuff and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like when did you start doing that kind of stuff?
I feel like I started doing it pretty early in the performances. I mean, when I moved to Victoria, I went like full force into the open mic scene and mm-hmm. just tried to meet as many musicians as possible, play as many open mics as possible. And I think just really quickly, I was just trying to wow people more than just hitting play on my drum machine and tapping a few pads and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had this wireless Bluetooth MIDI keyboard, and I'm like, well, I know one way to get their attention, and that's just go and bring the music like right to their face.
Yeah. And so yeah, I started it's doing nice. That. You can just move wherever yeah. you want. And yeah.
And I think that's what started it. And all of those antics, they never really go as planned. Sometimes I slip and fall, and sometimes the keyboard cuts out.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw you perform as Dirty Eddie was at an open mic at
Brewtopia.
Brewtopia, yeah. That's right. Yeah, shout out Brewtopia. Mm. And that's actually where we met, and that was the first time I saw him do an open mic. I think you said it was your first open mic.
That was my first open mic in Montreal. Yeah, I'd been here for like 48 hours or less.
That's cool. Yeah, and I mean, we were just, I met you like before you went on stage, and we were just talking about, geeking out about synthesizers and stuff, and then you went up on stage and just killed it. But at one point, you like jumped, you got off the stage and you were walking around, I think, like dancing or playing your keyboard
solo,
and then you went to like jump on stage and you just like face planted. I thought it was part of the act. I think everybody kind of thought it was part of the act. I don't know. But I guess those things aren't really planned, like when that stuff happens. Or
no, and that was probably like the most not embarrassing, but that was probably like the biggest fail I had done in like a weird stage antic thing.
Yeah.
There'd been other things like sound issues and stuff, but actually just falling on my face, and like I think even the batteries like flew out of my keyboard and everything went across the, across the stage.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah.
It's just, I mean, I learned to roll with things that don't go as planned a little earlier in life, and I think I just incorporate that into my performances now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really everybody, I think, I mean, I was sure that it was part of your act, like just because of how the
ridiculousness.
Yeah, the way you present yourself, how you're just funny, and you just seem like, you know, I don't know, like you're just not serious, like 100%. Like you're just, like you're very good at what you do, but it's like nothing is so serious. Like you don't take yourself seriously at all, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think it's important too. You know, like the songs are serious, and I'm singing about like sad stuff and stuff that really changed or affected me.
Yeah.
And, just like I said, like you don't expect things to go how they might, and you really got to roll with it. And I kind of learned to just laugh at stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I just try and show other people that you can do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, nice.
Look how fun it is when I mess up and we can all laugh together.
Yeah. And I think it makes everybody just enjoy your music more, because people resonate with that. Like they're like, you know, we all make mistakes, we all do stupid stuff and embarrass ourselves, and like someone like you who performs in that way kind of just brings people together around that idea that it's like okay to mess up, it's okay to fall, right. It's okay to make mistakes, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
So you have a new EP that just came out recently. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got a new EP called No Fix Quick Hits. It's a 4-track EP that I recorded almost right when I moved here to Montreal.
Okay.
I reached out to a homie that I kind of knew back from Edmonton. His name is Renee Wilson.
Okay.
And he runs a home recording studio here called Value Sound Studios. And I reached out to him right when I got here. He had some time available and we got to work. And it finally came out just about a month ago now.
Nice.
Super proud of it. It was a blast recording with him, and I'm actually back in the studio recording again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are these songs that have been around a while, or you just wrote them more recently, or?
I think that one of them was really old. It was like actually the first song I'd ever written, and it was about a friend who'd passed away, and I just never really felt like the right time, but this time it did.
Oh well.
And then I think the other two or three, they were all kind of written right around the time that I was moving from Victoria to here.
Okay.
So they were either just finished, or I was finishing them as I was recording in studio with Renee.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I like to get things to about 80% and figure it out from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to leave some room for some magic to happen in the
studio.
Absolutely. And the album cover, it's like an x-ray of your neck, right? Like
Yeah, it's an x-ray of my neck and back following a really terrible accident I had when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I was in a motorcycle accident, broke my neck, back, ribs, shoulder, forearm, wrist, you name it.
Oh, man.
Everything from the neck to the end of my right arm. And so that impacted a lot of my life, as might be able to imagine. Yeah. But it was also the reason, one of the reasons why I'm just so passionate about what I do now and how I do it. And so I felt like it was fitting to have that out there.
Yeah. It's
on the cover of something that I'm so proud of.
Yeah. Does it represent something for you having it be like the cover for these songs in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. Big Boy, which is one of the tracks that's on that EP, and the one about, that's the one that's about the friend who passed away.
Okay.
After he passed away, I took his advice of saying fuck it and doing what you really just kind of want or need in life, and I bought a motorcycle, and then I broke my fucking neck. Well, sorry.
It's not his fault,
though. No, it's not his fault at all.
Or anybody. But, I mean, it happens. It's, you know.
It's a bit of the full circle thing, I think, looking at the EP, having that as the cover and having Big Boy as the last song on there. Just, that's my way to look at it, is a full circle.
Okay. And you've told me before a bit, like, about your life before you kind of fully got into music. You're working a kind of office type job. I don't know how much you want to say about who you worked for, but I just, like, you know, like you were working a very like standard office job for, you know, some government type thing.
I'm happy to share. I worked for the city of Edmonton, really great employer. Once upon a time, I really loved the job. It was really cool. I worked in the civic events office, so I was I got to look after some of their venues that would hold different types of events, whether we produced them as the city of Edmonton or whether organizations would come in and produce an event. We were involved in all stages, and so I really just got to get my feet wet with the event and festival world. And it was amazing, and I did it for 7 years until it just wasn't amazing anymore. I started to fall out of love with it right around the same time COVID and stuff was hitting.
Okay.
Events were the first thing to shut down and the last thing to start back up. And as we're figuring out a new life post-pandemic, it didn't seem to resonate with me anymore.
Yeah.
And right at that time, I was just more looking for a break in that professional career life, while also the ability to explore my music performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really kind of just quit. You told me that you kind of quit your job and just kind of took a chance, huh?
Yeah. I went and played an open mic in Victoria while I was on a little break from work. And a friend of mine was running it. It was like a battery powered open mic in Victoria. And I played my song there. It was my first time playing solo in front of a crowd. And afterwards, people were cheering and singing the chorus of the song on the way out of the park. And I went back to Edmonton, and like, that was it. I'd made the decision.
Yeah.
I'm quitting my job. I'm packing up and I'm moving to Vic, and I'm just going to keep doing what I just did there as much as I can until I don't love that anymore.
Yeah. That's a bold move to do. And especially like in this time, you know, you said that was a few years ago, but still, like, with COVID happening, everything being kind of uncertain, you know.
Absolutely. I was actually going through a really low mental health period at the time as well.
Okay.
It was a bit of a mental health leave. And so some people might have looked over at me and been like, wow, you actually are going crazy right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're quitting your career and throwing it all away to go play some open mics in Victoria. But I got to say,
it's inspiring. The
best decision I've ever made. And it's got nothing personal with like the work or the people from the work. It was just absolutely all about just like empowering myself to follow some dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's inspiring, I think, that idea of like quitting your comfortable job to just try and make it in music. And, you know, it's like, I feel like people do that less and less now, you know, because it's just times are tough with the economy and everything, but
absolutely,
there's still people out there doing it, and it works out sometimes. Seems like it's working out pretty well for you.
I'm not sure if it's working out. I mean, it's definitely not working out financially, but everything else is working out so well that I kind of just keep trying to not remind myself about the finance side of things. Because, like I said, everything else is just working out so well. I'm meeting so many people, and I'm getting so many amazing opportunities to do things.
Yeah.
That I'm sure money's going to figure itself out eventually.
That's a nice attitude.
You know, if not, I'll go bag some groceries or do what I need to do.
All right. Well,
until then.
Well, we have to play an ad real quick, but then we'll come back and talk more about this.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Drew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome, salutations, and various forms of greetings, friends. My name is Mr. Billets. And when I'm not enjoying good ragtime music and tap dancing, I like to listen to Grade A Explosives on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJLO 1690 a.m. Now here's some kind of a cover of Frank Sinatra by a metal band. Take that, Hitler!
CJLO. So cool, we're from the future.
All right, we're back with Dirty Eddie on No Boundaries. This is CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Dan McAndrew. And we've just been talking a bit about who is Dirty Eddie, you know, how he got his start in music. If you don't know, if you weren't here earlier, Dirty Eddie is a synth pop artist from Montreal. Mixes a bit of comedy, I guess, with synth pop, you could say. How would you, I guess, define like your genre, or do you even see yourself as like, because people might lump you in with like comedy music, but like that's, you do necessarily want to be in that box, or like,
I don't necessarily want to not be, I don't know if I said that right, but I don't really have any qualms about that box. I would love to be involved in like a comedy show, but it's, I feel like I just am a bit funny more than I provide funny content or material.
Like
I said, the songs are kind of serious, or they're happy or whatever, and I'm just kind of like being giggly about it through.
Like the songs themselves aren't like inherently like funny, like they're not like,
you'd never listen to them like, people laugh. That's gonna make me giggle. No.
You have some sad songs, you have some really uplifting songs, I think, and
but halfway through that sad song, when I tell you it's about this girl who stomped on my heart and, you know, did something really terrible, and we are all going to get better because of it now together, it seems to change the vibe. And I noticed that really early in the open mic performances, that as soon as I started interacting with people and saying whatever.
Or you tell people that the song is about Tinder matching with your neighbor.
Exactly.
I didn't know that song was about that, actually. I heard that song quite a few times, but I didn't know that. So
now the whole world
knows. That was interesting.
Knows.
But yeah, it happens.
Shout out to my neighbor.
Whoever, the unnamed neighbor.
You know who you are.
What are your thoughts on milk? Because that's something that seems to figure a lot into your music and your persona. And
yeah, absolutely. Dirty Eddie is extremely against big dairy. You know, I think that Dirty Eddie is under the impression that Big Dairy has its claws deep into our lives. It's a humorous narrative that also aligns with a very true feeling that I have, is that milk is terrible for you. It's a terrible product. All milk products are really bad. And if you look close, there's milk products in everything.
For sure. Oh, I know, because my wife is lactose intolerant.
Yes, as am I.
It's like her life trying to find non-dairy things. It's like every day is a, I don't want to say a struggle, but a kind of a struggle. Like every time we go out to eat, we got to ask all these questions, and
right.
we go to parties and people like here's a bunch of food options. They all have dairy.
It's like stubbing so your toe every time you want to eat.
You're yeah.
just like, oh.
Yeah. And sometimes I swear people are just like, they react as if it's like a made up thing or something. It's like,
oh, yeah.
obviously a very well documented thing, condition that many people have. But
I grew up with like the worst skin, not the worst skin, just really, really bad skin and terrible like stomach issues and stuff. And I just figured that was me in my life. And then I gave up dairy for like 2 weeks. Everything went away. So all of a sudden, so like I'm a, like against milk. I'm like, milk is my kryptonite. Moment for you. Yeah. And I figured with Dirty Eddie, you know, it's an umbrella that I use to express everything I can already. So why not express my dislike for the dairy industry and its involvement in our lives?
Nice.
Yeah. So as funny as it is, it's still serious. But as serious as it is, it's still funny.
Mm-hmm. And your first music video, you were drinking a bunch of milk, right?
Yes. Thank like you for the reminder. Yeah. Yes.
Is that if you haven't seen,
helped launch.
Go check out his music video. The song was called the Ooze, right?
Yeah. The Ooze.
It's like a 6 minute long song. It's like almost like a short film, and it's like featuring like a cat riding a motorcycle, like a human with a cat's head riding a motorcycle, and Dirty Eddie Travis drinking a bunch of milk and a bunch of other random things. But
yeah, that was actually, I recorded it in Edmonton right before I left to Victoria.
Okay.
I think we finished recording like maybe 24 hours before I was on the road to Vic. And I really wanted it to be an ode to a bunch of stuff. Edmonton, which is the namesake of Dirty Eddie.
Yeah.
That was our nickname for the town growing up. And I felt if I ever was going to leave it to make music, I was never going to hide that that's where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't wash it out of my roots.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to show Edmonton in that video.
Did you say like how you came up with the name Dirty Eddie? Exactly.
Yeah, it was just like something that our friends, me and my friends, I guess, a bunch of people all kind of referred to Edmonton as Dirty Eddie. Like, yeah, I'm heading back to Dirty Eddie this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wondered if it was something to do with Edmonton because I know you're very proud of.
Term because no one really, there was not this like huge love for Edmonton. Growing up, people are like, oh, I want to go and live in L.A. or New York and anywhere but here was the sentiment. And you had to learn to love it, it felt like. And I very much did that to the point where I'll take that namesake with me.
Yeah. Would you say it's an underrated city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In many ways. Mm. In some ways, a little overrated.
Yeah.
But
well, because you really, you don't hear much about it. And it's like, you know, it sounds like growing up there, probably you felt like a lot of people felt like that was justified, but obviously you've come to love a lot of things about it. And
yeah, like I said, I learned to love it. You know, at first I felt stuck there, and then I realized all these amazing things and all these amazing people that like you can't really get in other places. And so I found a way to just really blossom there in one direction.
Yeah.
Until I realized that's not what I really wanted.
Yeah. But you'll forever rep.
Oh gosh. Edmonton. Yeah. Edmonton for life. Dirty Eddie for life.
Nice. Nice. And how are you finding Montreal? Like
I love it.
You've been here like about a year or so.
Yeah, just about a year and a half, I think. And after coming from Victoria, it's significantly different. I mean, even going from Edmonton to Victoria, it was like a step down in size.
Okay.
And then coming over here, it's like a huge step up in size, both from Victoria and Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
But not just the size of like people, the music community here.
Yeah.
Just the sheer amount of venues. And like, sure, Edmonton's an events city that has events year round, and it is just going all the time, but here it's not just the events that are happening year round, it's just that there's so many every single day of the week you can't even decide which one to go to.
Yeah, it's true. And you're very involved in the community, I find. Like you've been really involved in the open mics at the Turbo House, and you're always, you know, so many other bands and bands that you meet at these open mics, and that's how we met and stay in contact. We played a show like a month or so ago at Lesko.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I think it's inspiring. I think it's cool how much you're like, you're kind of a community builder here.
Oh, thank you.
Within a certain group.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's something that I came, I mean, it's how I learned everything about being a performing musician.
Yeah.
By moving to Vic and just going to as many open mics as possible and talking to those people and going to house parties and playing house shows and stuff like that. And so coming here, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do everything that I did in Victoria, but I got to do it twice as fast because now I have that knowledge. Let's go.
Yeah.
And
you don't have an income, so you gotta make it quick.
Well, right? Yeah, I just gotta, honestly, I have to make it feel like I'm working. Yeah, so regardless, yeah, that, I'm putting in 40 that. Hours a week of music related things.
You're used to working very hard at a 9-to-5 job, and you want to keep that same work ethic.
Yeah, I actually don't crave sitting on the couch and playing video games all day every day.
Yeah,
just some days.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's I think everybody does. Yeah, we're getting close to the end. Is there anything in particular you want to say, you want to talk about, let the people know?
Yeah, big show, really big show coming up November 28th at Casa del Popolo. I'm playing with Ollie Page. You can find him on Instagram at Ollie Page Live. And speaking of funny and music, this is the guy. He's Quebec's Marc Ribier, who might also have been a little bit from Quebec, but
yeah.
Anyways, he's fantastic. It's going to be a really awesome show.
Is he performing in French or?
He performs in both languages.
Okay.
Yes, as we all should here.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to faire mes blagues en français. absolument. But yes, Ollie is a native French speaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's nice. Like you have he's on the more French side, you're on the more English side, and you guys are,
it's a good dichotomy,
bringing your show to your acts together for the show. It's cool.
Yeah.
And you guys do a lot of work together, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, we hang and we try and make some music when we can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, this show together has been a long time coming. I actually met Ollie at the very next open mic after I met you.
Oh, okay, nice.
And I said the same thing to him as I did to you. I was like, hey, man, I really think you should stick around and watch my set, and then we're going to get along after.
Yeah, nice. Well, yeah. Well, thanks for being here, and it was a great set you did, and thanks for sharing your backstory a bit, and you've got a new EP out, No Fix, Quick Hits.
Yeah.
It's available on all streaming platforms. Do you have any physical copies or you're selling at shows?
I'm going to bring a few physical copies to the show on the 28th. That's the only place you'll ever be able to buy it is the 28th, Casa del Popolo. Don't miss it.
You guys better be there.
Thanks for having
me.
It's
lifetime.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. No worries. Thanks for being here. And yeah, I'm always excited to see your set and to see you perform and just to chat with you because you're a cool dude.
We'll have another one together very soon, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, go check out his show at Casa del Popolo, November 28th, right?
28th at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. All right. So thanks everyone for tuning in and have a great night. See you next time.
Bye.